This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Frida Liu, and I love a guilty pleasure snack, whether it's crisps, cookies, and granolas. Call my name, especially when they're homemade and I get an opportunity to support a Malaysian brand. Well, Kintry, short for Kindred Pantry, and in Chinese, it means persevere. Yeah. It's a great name for an artisanal snack company born out of love, hardship, and self-realization. So joining me in the studio today is Kintry's founder, Michelle Chai. Welcome, Michelle. How do you say it in Chinese, Kindred, persevere?
Kintry.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Now, you started this in August 2017, but before Kintry took off, you actually had a baking business. There were some concerns, delivery, logistics, and lifespan of the items, right? What were you doing, right? And why did you stop it?
So basically, I was baking brownies and cupcakes, and I was applying to a cafe in Hatamas. And based on logistics and the shelf life, because it could only last for 2 days, we always ended up making too much and they couldn't sell enough. So at the end of the day, we felt that, oh, maybe this is not going to work out. Mm. Yeah, but I started that because I had some free time while my daughter was at school. So I didn't have enough time to do a full-time job. So this was my part-time home baking project.
Okay, so you didn't think much about it. Then you started Kintry also informally as well.
Yes.
Okay, yes. And then what happened?
Because my daughter had a lot of allergies, so I had to bake and I had to cook from home. And because of that, I started to bake for my friends because they like snacks too. And each friend had a different type of snack they like, you know, like cookies or crisps. So I passed them some and they really liked it and told me to try and kick this off, you know, why don't you sell it to us and we'll try and sell to our friends. So that's how we kind of started.
Okay, then your business partner, Andy Wong, right?
Yep.
He stepped in a year later also as your operations and sales manager. He convinced you to turn it into a full-fledged business. Yes. What did he say?
Yes, he basically said, imagine all your stuff on supermarket shelves.
Okay.
Like imagine one day you just see it on the shelves. I'm like, no lah, you know, this won't happen. Then he's like, no, we should try. So he said, I'll come in, I'll help you with the operations and I'll help you with the, you know, direction of sales. And yeah, basically we got it into supermarkets and we got it into...
And it's only 2 years, huh?
Yep.
Only 2 years that you started. Now, okay, the products that you offer, so this is an assortment of granolas, crisps and cookies. So, tell me about the varieties that you have.
Yep. So basically we have cookies, which is our macadamia white chocolate cookie and our whole oat cookies. Mm. It's made with whole wheat flour, rolled oats, kampong eggs, so it's very healthy. That is a very good range for children. Then we have our granolas, which are very popular with the corporate people. Mm. They like to eat it with yogurt or as overnight oats. Mm. And lastly, we have the unhealthy one, which is our salted egg crisp. Mm. So this is also a popular, like, healthier snack because we actually handmade the potato chips, yeah.
Okay, so the R&D is done by you. You have always been into baking, that sort of thing.
Yep. Yep.
Did you learn this formally?
No, I didn't. I was a marketing, I have a marketing background.
Okay.
And I was in events and photography all the while. Yeah.
Okay, so now this has changed. But I guess it comes in handy when you're doing photography of your food that, right? So your products are all vegetarian friendly, right?
Yep.
Okay, so but it's not for vegans though.
Yep. Yeah, basically we use milk and eggs, so it's vegetarian friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and also no nuts.
There's nuts.
Okay,
there's nuts.
Your daughter right now, does she still have the allergies?
She still has the allergies. She has her egg allergy has gone down, but she still has a peanut allergy.
Okay,
yeah.
Also peanut. Okay, not nuts in general, just peanuts, right?
Yeah.
And you're also MSTI and halal certified.
Yes, we just got that last month.
The halal certification.
Yeah, MSTI, we just got it today, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we're going to Putrajaya to get the
certificate.
Yeah,
okay, let's get the plaque. Okay.
The thing, yeah.
What is MSTI certification? I think halal people know that, but what's MSTI certification?
So MSTI is basically the Malaysian version of HACCP. It's for smaller, micro to small enterprises. For people who basically can't afford HACCP, they will do MSTI. It's free. The government provides this service.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, so you're going to start with that. But halal was quite difficult.
Halal, for us, it was quite okay, actually. Mm. Thanks to Andy. Mm. He did the whole thing himself. We didn't get an agent to do it. So he had to do the processes, the certifications, the writing of the letters and everything. And they came over and they were very nice about it. They helped us out, taught us what to do.
Right.
Yes.
Was that a long process, though?
It took us about 2 to 3 months, actually, which is quite fast compared to other people.
Yes.
Yeah, so I don't know how come we just got lucky.
Okay, so Andy worked hard on the paperwork.
Yeah.
And of course, you moved from a home kitchen to a bigger scale production.
Yep.
Like, what was that move like?
That was quite interesting. Mm. A lot of learning curves, things that we didn't expect. But it was good. It was good. We basically have a very clean kitchen now. And, you know, it doesn't get contaminated with meat or anything like that. Mm. So it was very, very nice. And it's very nice to finally have our own space and a really big oven just made, you know, to make the products.
Okay. So obviously there were investments.
Yeah.
Right. Was the investment huge, or was it just plowed back from the profits of the business? You put it back into running it.
The profits are put back into running it, but also there was an initial investment that was quite a substantial amount because I needed to buy
the ovens,
the fridge, the deep fryer. Mm. Yeah, those.
What are we looking at when you talk about investments? How much would that be?
Maybe about 100.
Okay.
100. The starting investment was 100,000. Okay. But you know, as the business goes on, buying packaging and things like that, you need to keep putting money in.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's what it takes to run, is an operational cost of a business,
yes,
right?
Yes.
How about getting staff?
Getting staff, for me, I was very lucky. Mm. I had a lot of recommendations from friends and people we just met along the way.
Right.
So for us, it was easy.
So most of them are not front of, they're in the kitchen.
Yeah. We only have 2 in the kitchen, actually. Mm-hmm. And one more, which is our intern that's going to be our management trainee.
Okay.
She's very good. Yeah.
All right. So you've been fortunate. So and even getting the staff in the kitchen and all that, that's also been quite easy in that sense.
For us, yes. Mm-hmm. And we've had them since day one. Mm-hmm. So they've been quite loyal to us.
Oh, wow. That's okay. Yep. So I think one of the challenges as you grow bigger would be one of the concerns, right? Mm. Getting more staff and all that. Are you planning to get more staff, though?
Yes, we are planning to hire more as we go along. A sales representative would be great for the company. Yeah.
And the reason you went to this commercial kitchen was halal certification. I mean, to scale up.
Yeah, basically to scale up.
Was that a major decision?
Yes, that was really big. That was the part where Andy came in, where I didn't really want to do it. I was still like doing it from home, selling to friends, and I'm like, no need lah. You know, just do a bit. And yeah, that was a big leap for me.
Uh-huh.
And it was a big, huge, leap of faith.
Okay. When you look at the name Kintree, though, how long did it take for you to come up with that name?
It was quite fast, actually. So basically, it was between my daughter and me. We came up with that name quite a long time ago. I wanted to do a blog.
Okay.
Yeah, like a recipe blog. So I'm like, oh, should we go with like Common Kitchen or Kindred, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then we came up with a few names and I shortened the names and I asked her to choose which one she liked the most.
Okay.
Yeah, so she chose Kindred.
So she said, this is my company.
Yeah.
She, yeah, basically. Because I named
it. Yeah, she's like, this is me, like on the packaging and things like that.
Okay. I'm here speaking to Michelle Chai from Kintree. You'll also be able to see her at the Enterprise Takeaway happening on November 4th. We'll continue our chat with her after this. Stay tuned to Open for Business, BFM 89.
Big Friendly Matcha. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
You're listening to Open for Business. Good morning. This is Frida Liu. I'm here with Michelle Chai from Kintree. It's crisp cookies and granolas. She started this in August 2017 on a larger scale. And of course, you know, moving from small scale to a commercial kitchen, right? In terms of pricing, right? How do you decide on the right pricing? What do you know is that space?
So for pricing, we basically went and looked at other competitors' products And we just try to price it very similarly to them.
Mm.
Yeah. Or if we can, maybe a little bit lower.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just to keep it a little bit more competitive.
Okay. And when you look at competitors, so what do you consider competition?
We have a lot of competition because we have a lot of products.
Yeah.
So
there's some in the granolas, there's some in the cookies.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So basically for granolas, it's Amazing Race. Mm-hmm. You always see us next to each other on the shelves.
Okay.
For chips, our competitors range from the Singaporean brands mm-hmm. to the Taiwanese brands. So it's very hard to say.
Mm-hmm.
So we just price it based on the Malaysian brands, which there's one competitor, I think Wholesek.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they are our main competitor in Malaysia.
Mm.
And for cookies, we actually don't have any competitors in the supermarket shelves because we're actually a more premium cookie.
Mm-hmm.
We use rolled oats and pure butter, no margarine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit pricier that makes our cookie a little bit harder to sell.
Actually. Okay, okay, it makes it harder to sell. But so why do you still continue to be in that space though?
Because our customers that like the cookies, they actually buy in bags of 10.
Oh,
every time they buy, they really love it.
Right.
It's just that in the supermarket shelves, it's very hard to educate people.
Okay.
So we need to run more samplings and promos.
Okay. So in terms of distribution though, where are you currently available?
Okay. So we're basically available at Rui and Lin.
Mm-hmm.
We're available at Ben's Village Grocer.
Online?
Yeah, online.
Mm-hmm.
Watson's, Health Lane, D Market. Yeah, quite a few major supermarkets in KL.
Okay, so was it them approaching you or you approaching them at first, obviously?
We approached them.
Was that easy to get into the retail stores?
It was tough. Some of them will say no, will say no to you every month. And then suddenly on the 6th month, they'll be like, okay, come in.
Okay.
So you just have to keep trying and just... Like we had to know that they were saying no. Maybe they were having a bad day today.
Okay.
Yeah, but like the month after when we asked them, they don't even remember us. And they're like, yeah, come in. So yeah, that happens.
And I guess like when you look at this, is a lesson learned to persevere.
Yep.
And then also, I guess it's important for you to be seen in all these places as well, in all these outlets as well.
Yeah.
Okay, now you went, in terms of your packaging, you also went through several iterations of your packaging, right? So now your current packaging is by a local artist, Z2 Wei-Wen, right?
Yep.
Why did you change the packaging? What did you want to look with this new packaging?
So basically, with the old packaging, it was a bit dull and... the mass market didn't really accept it, so I wanted something more colorful.
Mm.
And I wanted something to showcase my family because I wanted to have a little bit of, what's that word? I just wanted to have that emotional content in the packaging. So I got Z2 to draw each of my family members in each of the drawings, the illustrations, and I actually designed the packaging. Mm. This really helped in terms of getting the brand more well-known in the market. Like, people really like the packaging right now.
Yeah. Okay, so it's like, that's also a very important component in terms of the look and feel.
Yeah.
Is there also a sense of Malaysian-ness?
Yes. Yeah. So basically, we had like the Roti Man and we had the old shop lot, the Ipoh shop lot, and then the Malacca table that we eat on.
Mm.
So it was to... portray Malaysia because most of our Malaysian snacks out there, they just have a photo of the KLCC or, you know, the KL Towers and it's very, very like touristy, you know, like what they sell in the airport. So we wanted something different, something young, something Instagrammable and something, people can relate to.
So are you looking at, in terms of your selling your products also possibly in airports?
Yes, yes. We are actually in a pharmacy in the airport already.
Okay.
Pillbox.
Okay.
Yeah, in Subang Airport and in Miri.
Right. So, and then when you look, again, just back to distribution, is Andy looking at distribution and where to be located and all that? Is a big percentage of your business also online?
Yes. So my online store does quite well too.
Mm.
We run... some ads and then we try to get people into the online store.
Mm-hmm.
But mainly right now our offline sales is better than our online sales.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when you look at what you've done so far in the last couple of years, what has been most challenging for you?
The most challenging part is in the beginning, it was really tough. It was it was tough when you had to spend the money and the returns were not there. And nobody would, you know, nobody would even answer our phone calls for meetings. They'll be like, no lah, we don't know this brand and we don't want to talk to them. But after you pass the beginning stage, it gets much better when people start to recognize you.
Right. Yeah. And so far, your marketing has been very much online media.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, so online and at fairs, at events too.
Okay. So yeah. I want to talk about events. But when do you see the demographics of the people buying your products? I mean, is it like more females, certain age groups? And does it also, I guess, it change with your different product range as well?
Yep. Males mainly buy the chips.
Okay.
They like saltier stuff. Females tend to buy the sweet stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
So whether it's granola, so if they're feeling healthy, they'll buy the granola. So if they're feeling unhealthy, they'll buy the cookies.
Yeah, and it also depends on the event we're at. Like if we're at fitness events, the granolas do very well.
All right.
Yeah, so it really depends.
Okay, so now you're a strong believer in collaborations, okay, with other small businesses. You take part in Rio, and of course, like, you know, you're also involved in our takeaway, which is happening November 4th. So why do you think these collaborations are so important?
So for me, I think that it's very nice to have like all the small businesses come together and collaborate, and we actually build and educate the public on our Malaysian businesses, our local businesses. And it just helps all of us grow together because we're all small. So like we're all like little partners or little colleagues in the same boat.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and you also do a lot around women, right?
Yeah.
You want to remove stigma from divorced women as well as female empowerment.
Yeah.
You have a strong initiative, a social initiative called Kintry Kindness, where you work with Z Women of Hope and UNHCR to hold baking classes for refugees. So let's talk about the first thing, the stigma from divorced women. Why is that so important? What are you doing in that sense?
So I currently, I went through a very tough divorce. Mm. So I felt that women do not have enough of a voice. Mm. And when they feel bullied, they don't really know how to come out or who to talk to at that time. Mm. So I wanted to be able to open myself up to these women to let them know that they can call me or they can talk to me anytime. Mm. So I try to source for various NGOs like Women of Will and these other small NGOs to maybe run some business coaching classes to talk to the women there or even answer phone calls. I think that really helps.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think always have your own money. That's important.
Yes.
So this working with Z Women of Hope and UNHCR, when did you start doing this and why is that important to you as well?
Z Women of Hope was founded by my friend Pearly.
Mm-hmm.
She works with the refugees for her social initiative and she asked me to come on board to help her out. So she does sewing classes and coaching of the women for sewing classes and I do baking classes. So we both come together to try and help the refugees in Malaysia because they aren't allowed to have a bank account, they're not allowed to make money. Mm. So we were trying to find a way to, you know, let them be self-sustainable.
Mm.
Yeah.
And what do you find has been, they're able to earn an income in that way, not directly, but indirectly.
Yeah.
By coming out of these as well.
Yep.
So are you looking at exporting your products?
Yes, currently I am trying to look into exporting to Singapore, Indonesia and the rest of Asia, like Taiwan, Philippines, countries like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a challenge as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And a challenge because just not knowing anyone.
Yeah, not knowing anyone and the margins are more difficult to play with because they would want to earn a much larger margin.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to learn about how to manage this kind of things. Okay. So I'm very new to this.
Okay.
But learning.
Learning, okay. Yeah. So what's next for Kintry other than export and all that?
So we want to do something like breakfast mornings.
Mm-hmm.
My next year plan is to do more breakfast mornings in corporate offices, maybe with a short yoga session to de-stress the office before the start of the day.
Okay.
So this
You've done that already?
I've done a breakfast morning with Watson's and this year. It worked out really well.
Okay.
The staff love having yogurt and granola for breakfast.
Okay. And a bit of exercise.
And, yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
so
that's nice. Sort of, so more of these sort of initiatives, yes, and all that. So yeah, looks exciting for 2020.
Yep.
And of course, if you've missed any part of this interview, you can always listen to our podcast online on our website or download our app. You've been listening to Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station. We'll